case for argument, United States v. Sullivan. Mr. Newcomb? Ms. Newcomb, my mistake.
He's myopic, as you can tell.
It's true. So where are you, Ms. Newcomb?
Right here.
Paula Newcomb, attorney for defendant appellant Blake Sullivan. Apologize, I've had a case of laryngitis for about a week, but I'm recovering. I'm here to request a resentencing hearing for Mr. Sullivan, defendant. He was sentenced in the Southern District of Illinois after revocation of his criminal case. And we believe that the time that he has been resentenced to exceeds the possible maximum sentence allowed by law. The record is fairly difficult from the record to tell exactly what time he spent in and out of custody and what credits he received, at least. But in my reply brief, I have filed an affidavit prepared by Mr. Sullivan after he went back into custody, which sets forth the times as best we believe they are appropriate and accurate. He was sentenced to 96 months methamphetamine conspiracy charges. He had one co-defendant. 96 months of to Bureau of Prisons plus 5 years supervised release. At the time of sentencing, he received a 5K1.1 reduction to bring his sentence to 96 months. He, in your prior hearing, just two cases ago, was about a 35B rule reduction. And Mr. Sullivan also did a proffer. I was the trial attorney in that proffer. And I understand the argument that was made early, because that's quite a slippery slope for a defendant. We spent about 3 hours in a proffer with the investigators prior to his plea, and you do sign a contractual or an agreement that says we may give you credit, we may not find it useful. But at any rate, after he was in BOP for 2 years, he received a Rule 35 reduction motion by the U.S. attorney and was granted 32 months off his sentence of 96 months. So that the time in incarceration for him, he was released for 49 days pre-sentencing in the summer of 04, but he was incarcerated except for that 49 days for 4 years and 4 months. He started with state charges in 2002. Those were superseded by federal charges, but he received credit for that state time. So then he received 6 months of good time, which put him at 5 years. Plus his Rule 35 reduction of 32 months. He also was then released to a halfway house for 2 months. When he went back in for revocation, it's our belief that I've calculated in my initial brief, I recalculated it when I received his affidavit, and that I think the government is going to make the argument that 96 months is not the proper starting place, that 120 months is the proper starting place. I don't believe that.
Why is that not right?
Well, the rule 5K1.1 was made contemporaneously with the sentencing, and the sentence document is 96 months. So we believe that is the starting place. But even if you don't accept that, this sentence is still over by less than a few months. But this
couldn't this sentence have been, on the supervisory release violation, have been 60 months? By statute, couldn't it have been 60 months?
To get another 5 year supervised release?
No. For a violation of supervised release,
yes.
Couldn't he have received a sentence of 60 months?
Yes.
So I don't understand why you say that 46 months exceeds the maximum sentence.
Oh, no, I don't agree with that. I think that all he could have received was the balance of what he had not served in custody.
And where do you get that?
Let me get to my Sorry, I'll take it to the right one. I'm referring to Gall versus United States. It said the appellate court must review the sentence under an abuse of discretion standard, considering the Section 3553A factors and explaining the chosen sentence. I know what you're saying, Your Honor, that you believe that he could have gotten up to 60 more months.
Right.
But that would put him in totality over his 96-month sentence.
That doesn't matter under the law.
You don't. That would not matter that he could, we would be required to serve more than his 96
months. What if he got a maximum sentence on the initial sentence, say 120 months, whatever it was, and 5 years of supervised release, and then he violates supervised release? Are you saying he can't be penalized anymore? He can't go back to prison?
No, I believe he could go back to prison.
For up to 60 months.
I believe that he only could go back to prison for the balance of the term that he was required to serve.
So if he gets the maximum sentence, then supervised release means nothing. He can never be penalized again. You're fighting against some specific statutes with that argument.
I don't disagree that the supervised release period was for 60 months and he would.
But what if he violates it? This is what you're appealing. The sentence he got on a violation of supervised release, not his initial sentence.
Right. That is right. But we don't believe that under the statute he can be sentenced to more than his 96 months plus his period of supervision. Because he got a reimposition of 5 years.
I know you believe that, but what do you base your belief?
All right. Let me find my brief.
I have seen your brief.
I cannot locate the case that I would rely on for that at this point. But I do think that it was improper to take back the Rule 35 reduction in this case and exceed the guideline range so drastically as the judge did. We attached into our appendix just numerous other random cases I pulled from the Southern District where the defendants in conspiracy drug cases such as this were generally resentenced within the guideline range.
You're into your rebuttal, Jamie.
Pardon?
You're into your rebuttal.
All right, I'll wait.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Newcomb. Mr. Kutchin?
Your Honors, may it please the Court, my name is Jim Kutchin. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney and I represent the government in this matter. Initially, it's the government's position that the defendant failing to object in the district court to anything that the district court, rather in terms of calculation of sentence or the imposition of sentence, has waived or forfeited those arguments here in this court, and accordingly, the court's review is only for plain error. And taking the issue that the appellant addressed first with regard to the proper calculation of sentence, of the maximum sentence, the court is absolutely correct that Section 3583E3 does set forth that because this was a Class A felony that the defendant was originally convicted of, that the maximum term of imprisonment upon a finding or revocation of supervised release is 60 months. The defendant's total sentence, which the district court plainly explained, was a combination of 14 months, which was the high end of the advisory guideline range, plus the 32 months for the Rule 35 reduction that the court had granted, coming up with a total of 46 months. That was plainly below the 60 months. In addition, that same statute in subsection H sets forth the maximum term of supervised release that can be imposed. In this case, because on the underlying offense, the maximum term was life imprisonment for supervised release, the court could impose any term of supervised release of life minus 46 months, which was the term of imprisonment. So there was no error in the court's calculation of the sentencing parameters in this case. The other issue raised by the defendant had to do with sentencing disparity. She briefly touched on that, appellant. In this case, she correctly points out that they did cite in general five or six cases from the Southern District of Illinois in which guideline sentences were imposed and revocation sentences. However, this court's case, in a recent case, and I believe it was Claybrook, made clear that the defendant's burden to show not only that there was disparity, but the disparity was unwarranted. In that case, it talked about the defendant coming forward or the appellant coming forward with specific facts from those cases to show that the defendant was similarly situated. Again, as a threshold matter, the defendant didn't raise that argument under Section 3553A6, this court in Claybrook did indicate that by doing that, the appellant had again forfeited that issue and would be reviewed only for plain error. But in this case, there's no indication that the case is cited by appellant that the defendant, number one, in those cases had received Rule 35 reductions. Number two, that they had had multiple tested multiple times positive for drug use, as the defendant had. Or in this case, which, as the court I'm sure is familiar with the record, something that weighed heavily on the judge's mind, had received a personal orientation session from the judge, in which the judge actually meets with the defendant when they enter supervised release to explain the conditions to them. And in this case, specifically explained to the defendant, because he had received a Rule 35 reduction, if he violated, that it was a probable consequence that the court would revoke or reimpose that sentence of that time cut that he had received as a result of his cooperation. In terms of disparity, the defendant simply failed to meet his burden of showing any disparity in that sentence. For all the other reasons stated in our brief, we believe the sentence the district court should
be affirmed.
I have
a question that has absolutely nothing to do with this case. What does the A in A. Courtney Cox stand for?
I have no idea.
You work for him, you don't ask what the A stands for?
You know, Judge, I should, and it seems like to me I did it one time, but he goes by Courtney.
It's a closely held secret.
Pardon?
Closely held secret. It's probably Aloysius.
I can file a supplemental brief on that, Your Honor.
I think we ought to investigate this rather thoroughly.
Thank you, Mr. Christian. Ms. Newcomb, how much time does she have? Do you have anything further?
If I'm misinterpreting the statutory period that he could be resentenced to, I still think that under the Rule 35 reduction that this case should be remanded for a sentencing hearing for further explanation of the reason for taking back the Rule 35 reduction. As I said before, that's a slippery slope that you take your client into to give that proffer even before you've had a plea agreement tied down with the prosecutors. In this case, they did honor the Rule 35. It was 2 years later, though. And I think that this case is a little bit different on its facts about the Rule 35 reduction because at a sentencing, the defendant is advised about revocation and appeal and such as that. And the 35 reduction came 2 years later, made by motion, order, no appearance in court. There was no advisement. The defendant didn't hear anything about that other than he received an order from me in the mail that he got that reduction.
Well, what about Mr. Cutchin said about the judge meeting with him to explain the significance of Rule 35?
That I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, that's held a year after he was released, according to our brief, was what he told me. It's not reported, apparently, and there's nothing in the record about what was said to the defendants. So the judge said at the sentencing.
I thought your client at the resentencing after supervised release said he recalled having been
yes,
told that.
Yes, he went there.
So he didn't deny that he was told that by Judge Gilbert.
He told me he didn't know the Rule 35 could be taken away from him.
What's in the record about this?
That's my point, Your Honor. That meeting that the judge holds with the probation.
Well, Judge Tinder just said that he testified that he recalled having been told this. Are you saying that's false, or you have private information, or what?
He recalled going to the meeting.
But he didn't recall what was said?
Pardon?
But he didn't recall specifically
no,
what was
he
said.
No, he said the judge went over all the things that could happen.
Right.
And I'm sure the
right.
judge probably
so
did say,
so what's the
I
problem?
May take that back. I can't tell you what was said there because I wasn't present.
Well, I don't understand
no
you. If he said that the judge went over the consequences of, you know, his violating his terms of release, what more is there to say?
Well, for one thing, that meeting is held a year after this defendant was out on probation.
Did he say what was said? Did he say, or just did he explain what the consequences were?
Your Honor, I'd have to refer to the transcript. I don't want to misspeak,
but
Mr. Sullivan probably said or concurred with
okay.
I know.
Okay.
I'd have to look at the transcript.
Look it up.
But that was
your time has expired.
All right. Oh, may I tell you Mr. Cox's
your
time name?
Time has expired.
Yeah, go ahead.
He'd like to know
well,
his name.
Yes.
Yeah, what?
Aud, A-U-D.
What?
A-U-D.
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 A-U-D. Well, that's odd, all right.
Now we understand.
No, it's
okay.
Just,
exactly.